Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, I sure appreciate you holding out. And believe it or not, this show is totally unscripted. We haven't covered a single point that we were going to cover. That's what you call live radio. And I'd like to point out something else, too. What other radio show in the world, what other organization in the world, you will have a co-host debating with the owner of the whole thing, the big kahuna himself, without Sam Bushman? Sam Bushman holds this whole damn thing. And he's allowing a co-host with one of his many programs to debate him on an even ground. God bless him for that. God bless Matt for having the guts to do that. I just hope we don't get Blood River kicked off. But, but anyway, before we go to Matt, Sam Lee has a couple of points to make, and then we're going to continue this for another segment, and we'll try to cover some of this other news we've been covering. But I would just like to say the whole damn thing, every problem in this country, and I'll make this real short, is caused because we have no morality. Our nation has become a bunch of damn pagans. We're worthless. We're lazy. We suck. And that's why we're being punished by God. And now I'm going to shut up. Lee's going to comment. And then after Lee talks, makes a comment, we're going to Matt. And then after Matt talks, back to Sam.
Okay. Go ahead, guys. I just want to make a few relative comments. The Constitution, it doesn't mention anything about parties. I'm just trying to think the party. The problems is with the party system. As you know, the party system, that's true, was George Washington. But
it's a good point.
You know, yeah, that's the part. But I don't know. Well, anyway, that's just one point. And also, before the Civil War, there was going to be this is the danger of party. Before the Civil War, we could have had a national referendum whether you're going to war. But the party, the Republican Party, said, no, we've been waiting 10 years to get into power. And we're going to get into our power. The war would just last 3 months, and then we can make up. But that's how foolish everybody was, thinking the war would just last 3 months. And also Lincoln, he was trying to conciliate. During Fort Sumter, he was trying to reason. But there was this cabal of governors Thaddeus Stevens, that told him, you quit trying to appease the South or reason with the South. We want you to declare war. And that's why he let a war start, because it was in his best interest of the North and Lincoln and the party. So I've read up on this about the secret government. Here, this secret combinations again. But that's I go into more detail later. But it's a fact. And he just wanted it was a power play. But anyway, that's the problem with party. Okay, Matt, you go ahead.
No, you make excellent points, Lee. I'm just going to make, I'm going to mention one people group. You mentioned the Mormons, Sam, and then I'm going to make my final closing arguments. And I really appreciate your debate here with me tonight. It's been a pleasure talking to Sam, the one and only Sam Bushman, and it's been great. Okay. But we've all heard about the sob story of the Trail of Tears. We've all been told that the Southerners treated the Indians so bad. Well, those nations, the Choctaw, Cherokee, and Chickasaw, are still thriving nations out in our Midwest. What about the Northern tribes? Where are your Blackfoot? Where are the Lakota? The Yankees killed them and destroyed their whole system. Now, Sam, you acknowledge tyranny after the loss of the Confederacy in 1865. You acknowledge a tyrannical government coming and attacking the South, and you hint at a tyrannical government before 1865. I would like to know when you thought that the government turned tyrannical, but my final closing argument is that I submit it was tyrannical from the very beginning, from the weaknesses that are found in the Constitution. And that's it.
Okay, Sam,
so
go ahead.
So let's be very clear. I don't think the government turned tyrannical. It's not like a light switch and you turn it on and say tyranny and you turn it off and say liberty. Okay, there's a sliding scale. If you read Bastiat's The Law, it articulates quite a bit about this, which is you've got to give up enough of your liberties or your absolute 100% freedom to create a balance. Okay, freedom doesn't do well when it's all by itself because thugs will take advantage of it, fill the vacuum with tyranny. And so it's a balancing act that the founding fathers tried to achieve. Now, is the Constitution perfect? No, it's far from. And I'm not defending it as perfect in any way. I am defending it with a track record of over 200 years of success, even with the liberties that are lost. It's not like a light switch. It's not freedom one day and tyranny the next. We slowly but surely lose liberty. It gets darker and darker as we move towards a tyranny. Or if we embrace the principles of freedom, it gets lighter and lighter and lighter. And so you've got to understand it's not a light switch. It's a moving target. And incrementally, we lose or gain freedom by the morality of the people, by their willingness to keep God's laws. And if we keep his laws, he promises us we will have liberty. He will protect us. Okay. And he'll heal our land. That's an interesting term, by the way. He will heal our land. And understand this principle, which is, hey, America has provided more liberty to more people in the history of the world than any other country, bar none. And even with as much liberty as we have lost, even though it's getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer in America as we lose our rights because the people are immoral, the fact that you and I can even be on the airwaves to have this debate is incredible. In most nations, we would be flat out shut down. Now, just because you disagree with me, I believe in the First Amendment more than I do my own ideas. In the sense that, hey, whether I disagree with you or agree with you, I defend your right to the death to say it, to believe it, to think it. And I know plenty about it when the Mormons got driven out. But here's what's interesting. The Southerners did nothing when the Mormons got driven out of their country. The North and the South were one country. In the 1838 is when the extermination order was issued. Do you know when the extermination order was lifted, Matt?
Probably 1980 or something.
1976. You're so close. So in 1975, you could literally murder a Mormon and get away with it. Okay, and so how many Southern leaders can you tell me that stood up for the Mormons when they were being literally raped and pillaged and plundered and driven by the point of a bayonet from the land that was founded on the principles of freedom to worship how, where, what we may? How many Southern leader gentlemen can you point to that stood up for the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? The answer is none, because you can't find them.
Oh, Sam, how many Mormons stood up to prevent the Cherokees from being the Trail of Tears?
Many. Many. In fact, the Mormons befriended the Indians more than anybody in the country, bar none. In fact, believe it or not, the Mormons were so kind and helpful to the Indians. I had an Indian reservation girl come live with me as my sister for years at my house, and she went to school with us, and she learned English, and we learned about her culture, and we literally took care of the Indians more so than anybody. Her name was Vernelda.
I don't know if I would admit this
video,
Sam.
I will. I'll admit that we were kind of the Indians.
Mormons are perfect, aren't they,
well,
Sam?
Well, they're far from perfect, but here's the point. How come when the tyranny comes for the Mormons, the Southerners do nothing, and 15 years later when they come for them, they cry foul? You tell me that, Matt.
That's not the issue.
Well, people, looks like we've come to the end of this first segment.
No, we agree to disagree.
I've got to separate these fighters.
That's the issue, because if you're not going to come when it's the Mormon, why do we care when it's the Southerner?
We got to separate the fire. Help me. We need another referee in here. People, we're ending this segment. I guess we'll try to wrap this up and try to get some of our, we'll make some excellent, excellent points. We're going to have to do this again soon. But people, hang on to your seats.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. And order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
What that music plays. God knows I love that music. Everybody's heard me say it, I'll say it again. That's the music that Matt Goodwin picked out. I picked up the Heinz Horsel song, Horse Weasel song. People, we're right back. We're going into the second segment of the second hour. I guess we'll wind this debate up. It could go on forever and ever. But I'm just going to say this.
Let me just say this really quick. I'll give you one quick example.
Oh, go ahead.
I don't like the song, and I don't agree with the song.
Okay.
But you know what?
Okay.
I defend your right to like and play the song on my network.
That's true.
Well, give Sam credit. He's the only one in America that would let us do this.
You know what?
Nope.
Even though, besides his Mormonism. Yeah, go ahead.
isn't that the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, Sam? No, I'm kidding.
No. Almost got me. But no, I defend your right to play that song and to listen to it, sir.
You know what? I tell you what, this is one of the most fast. This is one of the best hours of radio we've had. I would like to say this right here, you know, that the cause for the whole problem, that every problem that's been mentioned tonight, the evil done to the whites, evil done to the Cherokees, evil done to the blacks, evil done to the Mormons, it's caused by immorality, by evil. And, you know, I think it was Jesus who said that the soul of man, the heart of man, I'll just paraphrase it. It's the bottomless, it's depth, it's like the Mariana Trench in the Pacific Ocean, the deepest part of the Pacific Ocean they found. I think it's over 7 miles deep. Our heart is deeper than that. It's for evil. It is the man's heart. It's incapable. We can't even realize how much evil we can do. I mean, just look at man's immorality to man. But it's been caused because we turned our back on God. People, I guess we'll wind that up. We would like to get this on, but Sam said one thing during the break that I've always said wholeheartedly about, backed. And, turning back to God, that's the only thing that's going to save us. But I'm going to tell you something else, too, on a more practical level. We need to tell the IRS to go to hell. We need to get rid of the Federal Reserve. We need to get rid of this entire taxation program. We were going to do, I tried to get an expert to come on tonight to talk about blockchain currency, Bitcoin chain currency, what's going on out there in that place I can never mention. It's up where's that city we've been talking about for about a week, man?
Singapore.
The big financial tech thing going on out there right now. It's going to turn money upside down. It's going to turn make your life into a living nightmare if you're like less than 30. But you know what? That's the only real money that we should be using. God's money. I don't care if this republic, if this world lasts another 1,000 years. Gold and silver is the only honest money. So you know what we need to do? We need to get rid of all this Bitcoin, all this blockchain crap.
My parting shot, Eddie, just so I can get out and be done on this debate.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
My parting shot is this. When they came for the Mormons, we weren't Mormons, so we didn't worry about it. Then they came for the Indians. We weren't Indians, so we didn't worry about it. Huh? Then they came for the Southerners, and, well, now everybody feels like a stuck pig, right? Well, all I'm telling you is, why did that happen? When good people do nothing, evil prospers, ladies and gentlemen. And the only way for evil not to prosper is for good men and women to stand shoulder to shoulder and insist on their God-given liberties. This is the war in heaven. When Satan got cast down, this is the war in heaven continued on earth, and the principles are the same. It's good versus evil, moral versus immoral, and the way you stop immorality is by being moral. The way you stop evil is by good prospering. And until we learn to stand up as the good, and you're suggesting that the Southerners were all good and they were the righteous cause, that's not true. Both sides were wicked. If I had to pick a side, I'd agree with the South over the North, for sure. But I'm also telling you, though, that neither were righteous. When they came for the Mormons, they did nothing. And so, as a result, when good men do nothing. So, in the media, as my parting shot, what if I had to raise $10,000 to save this radio network, or $20,000 to save this network? I work my guts out every day to fund this network. I got more jobs than probably most of y'all. However, here's the point. I couldn't raise $10,000 if my life depended on it. Why?
Join the club. Yeah.
Because now, what if I were to go ahead and double down and decided I'm going to change my gender? Or I were to go ahead and whatever the latest perversion is, I would have backed that perversion. What if I became a sexpert? Sam Bushman, the sexpert. Sexy Sam on your radio. Okay, instantly I'd have plenty of funding. Right? Okay, so we embrace all the wrong things and we reject all the good things. And when good is called evil and evil is called good, and we turn our back on God, you blame our immorality. Don't blame the principles that made America great and that made America what it could be. What if the principles, one last question for Matt, what if we as a people were a moral, God-fearing people and we obeyed the principles and demanded and insisted on the checks and balances of our republic? What would it be like? And is it perfect? No, but it's the best we've got until the Savior comes, and there's not a single example in history that holds a candle to it.
My answer to that is they would send the U.S. Army to kick in your door.
Okay, you know, when the Mormons fled to Utah, it was a territory. And after they were kicked out of the United States, I don't know if you know, but the thugocracy in the Republic sent an army to try to crush the Mormons in our territory. Did you know that?
I'm not surprised by that.
What the Mormons did is they stood by their haystacks and they had everybody leave. And they had a few good men stand by the haystacks, and we said to the army, if you come a step further, we'll burn the whole establishment to the ground, and we'll move on. And the government eventually backed off. How many of you Southerners stood up when the army came after us after we even fled the country by an extermination order? The answer? None. So I'm telling you, it's the immorality of the people that's the cause, and there's only one answer to return it. And the Constitution is the best blueprint we have. Can you give me another case in history that for over 200 years, we've been relatively free? No doubt we've lost a lot of freedoms. I don't deny that. That freedom light is getting dimmer. However, the United States has brought more freedom to more people in the history of the world than any country bar none. And you can't find any example in history that competes with it in terms of its stability, even with the abuse it's taken. And so I don't find a better plan in history, but I plan to back the supreme law of the land, replete with its checks and balances, and I plan to encourage the morality of the people and await my Savior, Jesus Christ, to return.
Well,
I'll just reiterate what I've said. Yep, the entire problem, we live in a fallen world. The war went on in heaven, came down to earth. That's true. We're totally... Well, thank you so much, Sam, for coming on. You know, this was the greatest show we've had. It really is. I really enjoyed that. Our co-host Matt in there in the ring sparring with Sam Bushman. I mean, how many radio stations do you know? How many radio shows, people, do you know where you'll have a co-host calling in debating with the owner of the entire network? We're just one little radio show here. We have a bunch of radio shows on Liberty News Radio. Sam Bushman has his own show. He comes on 5-6 days a week. He really does. So he came in here listening. He keeps him and Bethany. He and his other children help keep us on the air every day. We're in Tennessee. He's in Utah. And that's where we're working as a team. But you have to admire that. You have to give respect where respect is due. He did that. People, we're going to shift gears a little bit. Believe it or not, that was totally unplanned. I want my guys to hang on. I got this from this article right here. I had a bunch of stuff to talk about, but as you might be able to tell, we got kind of thrown off. We got a lot of. We'll just cover the rest of it next week. I'd like to talk about this article that came out of the Crusader. It's the Klan. It's the Knights of the Klan. They sent out. I don't know how often they print this newspaper, but the title of this article is "The Anti-White Party," and it tickles the crap out of me. I'm going to try to read this. It's kind of long, but it's really funny. So hang on with me. The Democratic Party is, well, people, there go. We're going to a break. Hang on to your seat. We're going to come back. We're going to read this article. And then when I get through reading it, I'm going to get Matt and Lee to comment on it. So hold on to your seats, people. And people, you will please send us some letters. Send us a couple of emails. And God forbid, Sam said he couldn't raise $10,000. We can't even raise $1,000. It costs money. So anyway, send us in some money. Hang on to your seats. We'll be right back in just a few minutes.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The Supreme Court is taking up the Trump administration's plan to end legal protections that shield 660,000 immigrants from deportation. All eyes will be on Chief Justice John Roberts when the court hears arguments on Tuesday. Roberts is the conservative justice closest to the court's center, who also is keenly aware of public perceptions of a divided court. It's the third time in 3 years the administration is asking the justices to rescue a controversial policy. The court sided with President Donald Trump in allowing him to enforce the travel ban on visitors from some majority Muslim companies, but it blocked the administration from adding the citizenship question to the 2020 census. The program before the court this time is the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, an Obama-era protection that aimed to bring out of the shadows people who have been in the United States since they were children and are in the country illegally. This is USA Radio News.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Players and spectators ran for cover when a gunman opened fire at a New Jersey high school football game, wounding 2 people. One of the wounded was a young boy who was airlifted to Children's Hospital in Philadelphia with some extremely serious injuries, according to Atlantic County Prosecutor Damon Tyner. The shooting happened during the third quarter of a playoff game between the Camden Panthers and the Pleasantville Greyhounds. Tyner, the prosecutor, said no one has been arrested as of this moment, and authorities are still investigating whether more than one shooter may have been involved.
China continues to press Washington to roll back punitive tariffs in the tentative trade deal. A tariff cut is an important condition for any agreement that is part of talks on ending the costly trade war, according to Zhao Feng, the Commerce Ministry spokesman. Beijing said last week American negotiators agreed to roll back penalties imposed in September on $112 billion of Chinese imports if the agreement goes ahead. President Donald Trump dismissed that later in the day, jolting global financial markets. This is USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, people, I appreciate you hanging on. I went in there and got me a dadgum biscuit. Golly, you know what, people? We had so much material here we didn't cover. I was just texting Matt during the break. Saying, man, I tell you what, this is live radio. What can you say? What can you say? It's live radio. It's really educational and just good. That's all. With my 50-word vocabulary, that's about all I can say. Well, people, we're going right back to this article I was reading. Please bear with me. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I think it's funny as hell the way the Democratic Party has kind of shot themselves in the foot. So the Democratic Party is in crisis. Yes, they lost the last presidential election, but this crisis is much deeper than Hillary Clinton. The Democratic Party has been the anti-white party for quite a long time, and that's true. But it has been led by white and Jewish surrogates, you know, what we call cucks. Nancy Pelosi, Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, Chuck Schumer, Harry Reid, and I would say going on and on and on. This leadership does not look like people like the people who have voted Democrat. Let us rewind a minute and look at the first shot across the bow in the non-white insurgency that is now being fought inside the Democratic Party. This is what's funny to me. In 2008, Bill Clinton, the first black president, is looking forward to relieving his glory years in the White House via his longtime business associate, Hillary. Not wife, but business association, Lesbo Hillary. She gets beat in her own primary by a black man with a Muslim name. Hold the phone. A man named Barack Hussein Obama beat Hillary in 08. This goes on. This article goes on longer and longer. It goes on down here. Back to the president. The trend, I'm skipping down. The trend lines are crossing to turn ripping and tearing the party apart. The party's becoming increasingly anti-white. Now, here's the cut. It goes on about four more columns. But here's, I'm skipping over almost to the end. We'll talk about this. All these people, all these white cucks, these self-hating white cucks, they're the most racist. If you know, when you talk about racist or supremacist, they're the most racist and supremacist of all. And I would add, they're stupid. They assumed, according to the paper here, they assumed that the non-white masses would forever need their leadership. While Dianne Feinstein and Nancy Pelosi and all the other, you know, Hebrews in the Congress clucked and preened, the youth of the party turned brown. Now you got these people like Elian Omar, whatever the hell her name is, the first Somali refugee. She's a Somalian refugee elected to public office in the United States. She's a proud Democrat. She told Jenna Bush Hager of the Today Show that her election will serve as a ladder for others like her to be elected. Her daughter wants to be president. People, that's what I'm saying. I saw this coming a long time ago. All these self-hating whites, all these people that despise white Christians, especially white Christian Southerners and Mormons too, but they hate us. They hate our guts. Now, all these chickens have come home to roost. We have all these blacks, you know, mainly blacks, few Hispanics here and yonder. They're telling the likes of Nancy Pelosi, we don't need your white tail in here anymore. It's just like Dr. Michael Hill said, in the coming revolution, your uniform is going to be your skin. If you have white skin, that's the army you belong to. If you have black skin, brown skin, that's the army. You get the idea. That's what it's coming to. And like I said in the past, last week, I'm getting ready to shut up. It doesn't matter if you're one of these nice, you know, preening and cooing white airheads that says, well, I'm not a racist. I don't look at race. I don't consider race. The other racists do. And they're saying it. They don't, these blacks and browns in Congress, they don't beat around the bush. They say, we're going to get more black people in here. We don't need you stinking old
oh, toxic white male, oh, toxic white females in Congress. What do you say about that, Matt?
I think you're spot on. You know, you got the Louis Farrakhan types. They don't sit there and look down and say, I don't look at the color of my skin. No, they exploit it and say, this is what we are, and we should be proud of it. I'm sorry to say this, but they serve as a better example of what a lot of these scumbag white people who tuck their tail in between their legs. That's what these people should almost look to and say, yeah, that's not a bad thing. Like you say, they're wearing their color for an upcoming race war. It's on your skin. If you think that you're just going to hide in your house and avoid the action, one commentator said he's going to avoid the coming revolution. He's just going to opt out. That's the words. He's going to opt out of the coming revolution. Yeah, I'd like to know how you're going to do that, because whether you're interested in the revolution or not, the revolution's interested in you. And these people, as Ilhan Omar said, she's paving the way. They're not ignorant. They know if they can get the camel's nose under the tent, they can get more people from their country over here. It's just a matter of legislation, a little persuasion, a little lobby money here and there. And then more and more of these people are coming over. And next thing you know, we're going to look like the crisis in Europe, where we have complete no-go zones. There's already parts of the country that look like that, but it's going to be a lot more prevalent, a lot more pervasive, and it's going to affect most people's daily lives. If you think you're just going to ride down to the street and go to the market by yourself without a gun on your side or a can of mace, then you're totally insane. So that's where we're heading.
You know,
and keep going.
Yeah, man, I'm sorry. No, you go ahead.
Oh, well, that's where we're heading, and that's the future of America. And if you don't believe me, look to South Africa, look to Europe, see what's happening in Sweden, especially in Sweden. These people are getting gang raped. There's girls that are getting literally attacked by mobs of men, and they're not fair-skinned, blonde-haired, blue-eyed men. You know, they're the Afrikaners that have come up. So not Afrikaners like South African, but the Africans. Anyway, back to you, Eddie.
You know, you're so right. I was looking for a piece of paper I had here, but I'll just tell you what was on it. It's so bad. And Matt mentioned Europe, and I'll say Sweden. What country is more white than Sweden? Unless it would be Norway or maybe Iceland. But their government, this shows you how pathetic the government is. They think by printing leaflets, and then what they've been doing, they've been printing leaflets and putting signs up in different parts of the cities, telling these black Muslims and people from Northern Africa and black people and people from other countries like Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, refugees in there. In this country here, in Western Europe, you're not supposed to go up and grab a hold of women's genitals. You're not supposed to grab their breasts. It's rape over here. Having sex with a woman, 5 or 6 or 10 or 15 of y'all having sex with a woman against her will, that's called rape. And there's a law. Believe it or not, there's a law against raping white women or raping any women in this country. They're putting leaflets out saying that. How pathetic is that? You know, that's true. You know, they say that Sweden, Matt and Lee, has become the rape capital of Europe. And listen,
and what's people can say to it? The police stations there, the police chiefs are calling these thugs of these gangs to come in for a pizza party. That was on the news today. They're actually that's their response to the crime and the rapes and all that. They're going to invite them to pizza and have a chat with them. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Pizza.
Yep.
In Texas in the 1800s in this country, it wasn't even rape. It was attempted rape. They hanged a man for attempted rape, not even rape. Well, that's how far bad things have gotten over the course of 150 years.
Yeah, that's why we need guns and more guns and ammo for self-defense.
You know, so right, you know, I'd like to reiterate, you people probably heard me say this 1,000 times, but it's so true. Most white people that I know, most of my friends think like me, Lee of the South, Matt, Lee, et cetera, Sam. But I've lost a lot of friends, my white friends, because they're totally
they're kind of like they're mentally ill. They think that they can kind of wish their way out of this racial consciousness. But, you know, just about all politics, like it or not, is racial. You know, every country in the world, you have like Somali, where this lady, Ilhan Omar came from. She came from Somalia. If you go to Somalia, it's like 99.9% black. If you go to Ethiopia, same thing, 99.9% black. Go to any part of Red China, it's 99.9% Chinese. You know, they're yellow. They think the Chinese, they think Chinese, they speak Chinese, they look out for Chinese people. By and large, black people, they know they're black, they think they're black, they think in terms of being black, they look out for their race. We don't. Shifting gears, going to this our good friend Buddy from Arkansas. He's always sending stuff. He sent us this Barn Review. I think I mentioned that earlier. But, people, I hear the music coming. As soon as we come back, I'm going to go to this article that Buddy from Arkansas sent us. Texas A&M professor says white people have to be killed in order to liberate black people. We'll be right back, people. Hang on to your seat.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
People, this has been a wonderful show tonight. I'd just like to go back and restate something I said earlier. I would like to thank Sam Bushman. Believe you me, Sam Bushman can tell you flat out The bombardier does not kiss tail. I don't blow hot air. A Sam Bushman can tell you I have a very fiery personality, fiery temper. And I'm not really proud of that because I lose control of it sometimes. But Sam has seen me all wound up before. But I'd like to say this with the deepest. I'm so appreciative of Sam Bushman. Everything Sam said, and I'm gonna brag on Sam a little bit because I'm proud of Sam. I love Sam. He's a brother of us. Sam and Matt, Matt's like a son to me, like Jacob. Lee's my younger brother. We're all the brotherhood here. And what Sam said, we're standing out alone fighting this evil. If Sam said, could he raise $10,000? Hell no, he couldn't. We couldn't. You know what? We've raised some money thanks to our friends, but we couldn't do it on the spot. 10 grand, you can forget it. And it takes a lot of money. So it takes us about $350 a month to run this radio show. Costs Sam a hell of a lot more than that because he's run a lot more shows. But I would like to thank Sam Bushman so much for letting us carry on the red hot show that we do. It's fiery. Sam doesn't like our music. I love it. But Sam, even though Sam doesn't like our music, he lets us play it. Well, that aside, and also while we're at it, this is kind of like a family here. So I'm going to talk to Matt. Matt, we don't want to forget this to say an exit prayer tonight, fella. So save enough time. I want you to give a closing prayer before we leave. We still got another 9 minutes or so. So go ahead, Matt. Wait. Lee's got an article he wants to read.
Yeah, I'll just read it briefly. There's this Texas A&M professor that says white people may have to be killed or genocided. And he's if a white person were to say, well, black people need to be genocided, I need to be fired, but he's still teaching at Texas A&M. I was just thinking, is this some kind of government psyop? Is he getting paid by the government, Eddie, to say this?
No, it's just, whether or not he's being paid is, I guess it's relevant because he's saying it. And, and the president of the diversity, Lee, said that, no, he's not going to be fired, and no, he's not even going to be disciplined. The president of the diversity said he kind of wished he wouldn't say that because it's kind of inflammatory and kind of hateful. But he has – but it's not hate speech, though. He said that speech is protected under the First Amendment of the Constitution, according to the president of Texas A&M. If a white person, Lee's right, if a white person had said that, that black people need to be killed, they'd be held to pay, Matt.
They create a whole assembly of accreditation policies. And for these schools to have any access to call themselves an accredited university, they have to obey all the agendas from the U.S. government. Now, if a teacher gets up and starts promoting National Socialism, for example, or anything that they would deem pro-white, that teacher is going to get immediately suspended and most likely immediately fired because they're going to name all these policies from the accreditation about how they're not fulfilling diversity and being inclusive. All these kind of accreditation policies. But for this teacher to come out and say whites are going to need to die, it's absolute silence, and it's deafening. The silence is deafening, and it's really sad that that happens. But, yeah, the accreditation, and it all goes through that old city-state, that old nation up there called Washington, D.C., right past the Potomac. It's a big swamp up there, and Trump never drained it. It's an even bigger swamp.
Yeah, Trump has failed us. I know he's our only hope, but he's failed with the vaccines and with the borders. Not all the way, but he hasn't replaced anyway. He hasn't, But then who else can we get? We're sort of in a trap. We're damned if we do and damned if we don't.
So you asked if they funded it, the federal government. Well, through accreditation and through the monetary system that these universities get, they get grants, school grants, school federal money. Of course they're funding this agenda. And like I said, yeah, it's all going through that one city up there.
We're watching. Yeah, he has a 9-month salary of $86,000 by paid by, I guess, Texas A&M or the government. And, it's really disgraceful. But why would somebody, openly, why should somebody say that?
Because he hates white people. He hates white people.
I can't believe it. I think somebody's paying him off.
Well, I'd like to make a comment too. You know, we had last week we had Jason Robb on, and he was to compare and contrast. You know what we got here—the double standard between the races. In Oklahoma City, somebody handed out some pamphlets. I think on the university, one of the universities there in Oklahoma, and I think probably around the city hall, et cetera, different places. It said the pamphlets basically were saying, it wasn't very long, a couple of paragraphs, saying it was okay to be white. Well, the Oklahoma Police Department is going around doing a criminal investigation because someone just said it's okay to be white. Okay, go over here, back over here to Texas A&M. In Texas, a state university, a professor, a full professor, not even being damaged, calling for the murder. I've read the article further, calling for the murder of white people, saying that we can't have black liberation unless we start mass murdering white people. What a bipolar example. North Pole difference, a difference of the North Pole from the equator in fairness, in hypocrisy. My God Almighty. People shifting gears here a little bit. I'd like to go to another article of this paper, and we don't have a whole lot of time, but I'll try to go over it pretty good. We have a rise of racial nationalism in Eastern Europe, where it looks like where white Western Europe, Germany, France, specifically Germany, Denmark, Sweden, they're being beat down I'll go back to the South. Like the South has been beat down. We're a bunch of redneck Southerners. We hate blacks. We marry our sisters, et cetera. We have a rise of racial nationalism. One country here in particular is Latvia. Has this professor down here. She said, get this. She holds this. Let's lady here. Her name is Frauke Petri. Matter of fact, we had a Dick Van Dyke had a show here on radio one time. His name was his last name was Petri. I forgot his first name. They called him, but it was Laura Petri was his wife. Boy, she had a good looking wife. But anyway, this lady, her name is Frauke Petri. She's the leader of the AfD, which is the name of that party, is the Alternative for Germany party. Get this, she holds a PhD in chemistry. She's the mother of four with her husband. We've got, one husband, one wife, one husband, had four children. She's a Lutheran pastor. By the way, I almost forgot this. I've got to get this in before I go back to this article here. I'm famous for rabbit trails. I see in Singapore, where they're having this big conference over there, they have the world's largest airports run totally by robots. They say you can eat in there so clean. It's against the law to chew gum in public. They're so clean. It's in almost, aseptic technique just to live out, which is one notch below sterile. Against the law, you can't even spit. It's against the law to spit on the sidewalk. Meanwhile, in Nancy Pelosi's district in California, I think San Francisco, they just passed a law. I mean, believe it or not, this is true. They just passed a law making it legal to defecate on the sidewalks. That's in the good old USA. Man, aren't we proud to be here in the USA? It's like Alice in Wonderland. It really is. Anyway, they got the rise of racial nationalism in Latvia. Matt probably knows something about this. I think Matt's been following this AfD party. But we have, as an optimistic note, we have these, we have what's called the Golden Dawn Party in Greece, which is, it's a racially nationalist party. In the Netherlands, they have what they call the UKIP Party. In the UK, the AFD in Germany, et cetera, goes on. The National Front in France and in the Swedish Democrats, they're all racially conscious nationalistic parties. I think that's pretty optimistic. And here's what I would say. Here's what we need to do. Of course, we don't have the money. We need some kind of way. And I hate to use this term hookup. It's a fairly new term. We need to get together. We need to get together with some of these, our white brothers and sisters nation, across the water, so to speak. We need to go to some kind of way, get into Latvia, into Croatia, into Germany, and talk to some of these people and form some kind of alliance, because this isn't, our show is formed to fight global white genocide. This right here, these people here, the rise of racial nominations, nationalism in Latvia, coming from the Klan newspaper, the Crusader is the name of the paper, the Crusader. That's what they're talking about. They're talking about banding together with racial nationalism. Man, this is kind of smoking this. We're choking you to death on smoking this. There must be something on fire in the studio.
Well, I think what you're talking about is pan-white nationalism, and we're starting to see that more and more. We have a friend over in Germany as we speak.
Oh, man, I ran my mouth. Dang it, we didn't get to say the prayer. Matt, next time, please shut me up so we can get to say the exit prayer. People, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, and Bethany. Bethany's the daughter of Sam. She's so sweet. They keep us on the air. They let us go wild. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Sam. And thank you, audience. If you will, say prayers for us. And if you have any money, please send it in because our contract has got to be re-signed in January 1st. God bless you. Hang on. Same time, same place next week. Maybe we'll have a special guest or two if they don't chicken out. Good night, everyone.